back. Welcome back to another episode of the Deep Press Cincinnati Sports Fan Podcast. I am Jesse. On this podcast, we're going to recap the Cincinnati Bengals' big victory over the Indianapolis Colts last Sunday, 34-14. Your Bengals are over 500 at 7-6, and the season is still alive. The playoffs is still hopeful, and we're feeling very optimistic on this podcast. And I bet Bengals fans across the city are feeling like, you know what? Even though we lost Joe, we got Jake Browning, a.k.a. Downtown Jake, Jake Scheisty. What we got, the nicknames, Mr. Always Getting a Crampy Jake, whatever it is. Hey, the Bengals are still in it, and I think the NFL world need to be aware of them because, hey, the NFL's weird this year. Anything can happen. So we're going to recap that game. Obviously, box score recap, positive and negatives, playoff update, how the AFC playoff picture looks, and also the Bengals got a big game coming up on Saturday. Not Sunday, Saturday against the Minnesota Vikings. So we will preview that game. And then trivia at the end of this podcast, as always, with my guy, Tommy Stewart. Tommy, how are you doing on this Wednesday evening?
Doing pretty well. I'm glad you said that, actually, because I forgot that we played on Saturday this week instead of Sunday. So I know they're trying to shift it to get people used to watching on Saturdays for playoffs. But good thing you said that. I would have found it out eventually, but thank you. How are you doing?
You know what? A lot of people were listening to my Insta Reaction podcast, and they were like, oh, yeah, the Bengals-Viking games is on Saturday. And I'm like, they're like, thank you for reminding me that. Yeah, I know. So that's going to be – it's kind of weird that there's a football game in 3 days. So we have to recap this game and just move on from the Colts game and get ready for the Vikings game. So, yeah. Anyways, let's do the box score recap of this game. Like I said, Bengals won 34-14 over the Indianapolis Colts. So the Colts get the ball to begin the game. This is your box score recap, obviously. They go 3-and-out, and Trey Henderson had a sack in this game. Our boy Trey Henderson, who I thought was going to lead the league in sacks this year or the season. But, hey, he has double-digit sacks for the whole so far this season. So Trey's doing amazing. But Trey was on a they call him Blackout Trey. And in this game, I think he blacked out. And usually when Trey Henderson has those type of games, that means the Bengals are winning. Now, he'll do some stuff where he'll cost the team a penalty or two. But overall, when you have Blackout Trey, it's pretty much a wrap for the opposing team offensive line. So, 3-and-out. And then the Bengals go 3-and-out. And then the Colts punt it after 5 plays on their next offensive drive. And then the Bengals, they will score here on the first offensive score of the game. 4 plays, 92 yards, 2 minutes and 11 seconds off the clock. 1st and 10 from the Bengals 46. Jake Browning, screen pass to rookie running back Chase Brown. And Chase Brown took it to the distance, 54 yards. Average speed for Chase Brown, 22 miles per hour. 2nd fastest in the league. Crazy. 7-0 Bengals. That was such an electrifying play. When he made that cut to go to the end zone, I was like, oh my. I love Joe Mixon, but it's been a while since a Bengals running back can make a cut and just open the field with the downfield speed. I was like, oh, this is beautiful to see. So that was great. 7-0 Bengals. And then the Colts' next drive, they go 10 plays, 55 yards, 5 minutes and 16 seconds off the clock. Field goal kicker Matt Gay, he really struggled in this game. And I wish he would have struggled in the Super Bowl when he was playing for the Los Angeles Rams, but he missed a 38-yard field goal. Now, the announcer, the CBS announcer, jinxed that before Matt Gay kicked the field goal, the CBS announcer said that he was perfect all year from under 40 yards. And I'm like, announcer jinx. And I said that. I was like, he's going to miss this. And sure enough, he missed it. Oh, poor Matt. And then the Bengals go 11 plays, 72 yards in their next offensive drive, 5 minutes and 57 seconds off the clock. And 4th and 1 from the Colts 15. Zach Taylor decided, let's kick the field goal. McPherson hits a 33-yard field goal, but the Colts got called for leverage. Can't do that. The defender, when they're trying to go for the field goal block, you can't have a hand on your teammate's back. You can't do that. So that's a penalty. Gave the Bengals a first down, and they capped off that drive on a Mixon 1-yard touchdown run. Yikes for the Colts. 14-0 Bengals. And then the Colts' next offensive drive, they go 17 plays, 79 yards, 8 minutes, and 22 seconds off the clock. Like I said, Blackout Trey, he's great, but he is prone to make some stupid mistakes. And on this drive, he had a roughing the passer call against him, and it was clear as day. I don't know why Trey was trying to argue to the ref that he got pushed in and hit Gardner Minshew way late after he released the pass. I saw the all 22. I'm like, why are you arguing that? You literally just you hit him. You hit him so late. So that kept the Colts drive going. And then fourth and one from the Bengals, too. Minshew found tight end Mo Alie-Cox. I never heard that name ever in my life. But congrats to him on his first career touchdown reception. That gave the Bengals lead down to 14-6. Yeah, Matt Gay missed the extra point. He was just not having a good day. And then the next Bengals drive, Jake Browning throws a bad pass to tight end Tanner Hudson, who tipped it in the air and ended up in the hands of Harrison of the Colts, and he returns it back for a pick six. Colts go for two. They get it. In a span of 20 seconds, the Colts get 14 unanswered points, and we go into halftime 14-14. My mindset was like, wow, the Colts are so lucky, and it's like, how the fuck is this game tied? It has no business being tied at all. And then the second half begins, and oh boy, my notes are all over the place. Give me a second. Oh, no. I'm good. We're solid. So the Bengals get the ball. They go six plays, 75 yards, 3 minutes and 22 seconds off the clock. Second and eight from the Colts 11. Jake Browning found Tanner Hudson for his first career NFL touchdown. Round of applause to Tanner Hudson right there. Good response by Jake Browning in the offense, especially for Jake. After throwing that pick six before halftime, it was a momentum killer. All the momentum was on the Colts' side, and for the Bengals' offense to come out in the second half and score, that was a statement drive right there. 21-14 Bengals, Colts punt on their first possession of the second half, and then the Bengals' next offensive drive in the second half, they go 11 plays, 71 yards, 6 minutes and 33 seconds off the clock. Second and goal from the Colts 1. Jake Browning sneaks it in for the score, 28-14 Bengals. Colts punt, Bengals punt. And then McPherson hits a field goal on the next Bengals offensive drive. On that drive, Jake Browning had a right hand injury. At first, I thought this boy broke his right thumb. I had so many scenarios in my head. I'm thinking to myself, okay, Joe Burrow's out for the season with a wrist injury. I'm thinking to myself, we got Jake Browning. He is balling, and the season looks like it's saved. And then you see him just clutching for his hand. I'm like, why? Why, sports gods? Why do you want us to just have injuries to our quarterback, especially in the hand position? So Jake ran to the locker room, and it was just a cramp. Thank God. That's what CBS was saying that before. I mean, they came back after commercial break. They were like, Jake Browning just has a right hand cramp. He's going to be fine. He's probably returned. Had to go back to the locker room to get an IV. All is good. Thank God. AJ McCarron came in for a couple of plays. Should have had a touchdown, okay? But T. Higgins, quote-unquote, pushed off. Then I saw the all-22. It's like T. should have not pushed off. He was already had position on the cornerback. He was obviously taller than him. Just don't know why he had to push off there. That should have been a touchdown. That was a good ball by McCarron. But that drive ended in the McPherson field goal. 31-14 Bengals, and then B.J. Hill had an athletic diving interception, and that was his first regular season interception, by the way, for B.J. Hill, so good for him. And the Bengals added another field goal late in the fourth quarter, and that was pretty much, obviously, the game was already over. 20 unanswered points. Final score, Bengals 34, Colts 14. Final stats, Jake Browning 18 for 24 for 275, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick, and a QBR of 71.5. Joe Mixon had 21 carries, 79 yards. He also had 3 catches for 46 yards. Chase Brown, 8 carries, 25 yards. And he had 3 catches, 80 yards. He had the most receiving yards out of all the Bengals receivers in the game, and including that touchdown reception he had. Tanner Hudson, 2 catches, 21 yards, including that touchdown. Jamar Chase eclipsed 89 catches this season, breaking his mark from last year. So Jamar is well on his way to having a 100-plus this year when it comes to receptions. So congratulations to him. Bengals defense, man, if it wasn't for Trey Henderson picking up that penalty, I think they could have had a shutout in this game. The defense played well. Some notables I wrote down, Jermaine Pratt, Logan Wilson, one of the best linebacker tandems in NFL. They each had 10 total tackles. Chinedu Awuzie is playing really well lately, 5 total tackles, 1 tackle for loss, 1 pass deflection. Mike Hilton, 5 total tackles, 1 tackle for loss. Trey Henderson with those 2 sacks. And then DJ Ivy, the Bengals 6th-round pick out of Miami, Florida. He had a fumble recovery and a pass deflection as well. I think that DJ Ivy is – he's been playing well. He played some minutes in the Jaguars game, and he got some time during this game as well. I think that's good that he's getting these type of minutes. And I wanted him to play because we – you know, obviously, before Jake Browning went on this run that he's going right now, we all thought that, okay, the Bengals coaching staff need to evaluate the rookies on the teams. And I said that DJ Ivy was one of them on my list that I want to see play. And he played really well in this game. So that's really good to see. So, yeah, that's pretty much your box score recap of this game. A good game to watch. And the Bengals are still in it. Tommy, anything to add before we go to the positives from this game?
No, that was great. It was a fun one to watch. Surprisingly, a blowout on our end, which I was shocked to see, but was exciting the whole time. And Jake Browning continues on.
Downtown Jake. I'm just going to call him that. I just like that name. Downtown Jake or Jake Shiesty. So my first positive from this game is obviously Chase Brown. That touchdown he had, like I said, 22 miles per hour speed, second fastest clock speed in the NFL. And what's crazy is that the way Chase Brown has been playing these last 2 games, it's making Joe Mixon look good as well because he's running the ball well. So Chase Brown and Joe Mixon are the first Bengals running back tandem to have more than 100 yards from scrimmage in the same game since 2000, and just the 3rd to do it since 1990. Oof. I mean, I compare – I'm trying to think of the tandem of how to compare to Joe Mixon and Chase Brown. Mixon's more the bruiser, and Chase Brown's more the speedster. But Mixon – man, I was watching all 22. He had one run where obviously he has where, okay, it looks like he has a clear hole. And he got some good yards out of it, but he always gets tripped. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh. But with Chase Brown, there was one play that I was watching on the all 22 where he had a 5-yard game, but that 5 yards was speedy. Like, it was just like two. And I was like, okay, that's what the Bengals need in the running back position. So I am glad that he's getting more reps. And Chase Brown is going to be the future Bengals starting running back. He is. And that's the reason why they drafted him in the draft. And they're finally using him. Is it too little too late? No, because the Bengals are still in the playoff picture. So I think it's coming. I think them playing Chase Brown comes at the right time. It really does. Let's talk about Downtown Jake or Jake Shiesty. These numbers are crazy. So Jake Browning, from week 13 to week 14, he has been the league's best stat passer stats in the NFL. Let me read these to you, Tommy. This man has an 82.0% completion rate, number one, 91.4% adjusted completion rate, 0.0% turnover-worthy play percentage, 90.3 Pro Football Focus passer grade, 91.0 Pro Football Focus offensive grade. And in this stat where I had to like look up what it mean, but a 0.290 EPA plus CPOE composite. You can Google that later. And then he has a 119.2 passer rating. He has 629 passing yards. He has a 10.3 yards per attempt, and also he has a 504 adjusted EPA per play. Amazing. What he's doing, just being the backup quarterback to Joe Burrow, to produce these stats, It's crazy. And I always look back at that Steeler game, and I'll never forgive the Bengals coaches because they didn't set Jake Browning up for success at all in that game. But maybe it was just because it was his first start. They wanted to get a good feel of what he does and what he likes and et cetera. But now I think Jake Browning is comfortable, and he's calling his shots as well. And Zach Taylor and Brian Callahan, these last two games, they're calling masterful games. I never thought those words would come out of my mouth, but they really are. And let's keep that up. You can change some things, but keep up this game plan because it is working, and it's working really good. My next positive is the Bengals' run defense the last 2 weeks, really good. At Jacksonville, only allowed 71 yards. And then on this game against the Colts, 46 yards allowed. It's like night and day from the Bengals' run defense that we saw for the first, let's see, what are we? 176, the first 11 games of the season? What? 71 yards at Jacksonville, 46? Everyone thought that Zach Moss, the Colts running back, was going to go off. Jonathan Taylor was declared out before this game. So I think a lot of Colts fans were saying, oh, Zach Moss, 150 easily. And I saw a lot of people betting that he was going to get over 100 yards. He only got 46 yards. So the Bengals' run defense is playing really well, and I feel like the defense as a whole, it just has that feel like they're getting back to who they are. And their numbers, yeah, they're still statistically not one of the best defenses in the league, but I just feel like those stats are kind of misleading because they haven't been playing the way we know the Bengals' defense under defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo do play. These last 2 weeks, it's very promising, and they're peaking at the right time. Cheeto looks like he's getting back to being himself. Mike Hilton is tackling well. The tackling is getting a little bit better, I think. And I think the Bengals defense is starting to peak at the right time. Let's hope they keep this up. And then I talk about Blackout Trey, full force. So far this year, he has 12 and a half sacks. I already talked about DJ Ivy, really happy for him. And then the Bengals offensive line in this game, zero sacks allowed, zero. They've been outstanding the last 2 weeks. And maybe this new offensive game plan with Jake Browning, now you add in Chase Brown in the mix, it's helping the Bengals' O-line. And they've had the same O-line all season. Knock on wood, that continues. They're peaking at the right time. It just feels like everything is coming together. I don't want to get my hopes up. I'm not saying this team's going to make the Super Bowl or anything, but this team can definitely make the playoffs. They really can. Because right now, they look like they're gelling, and they have all the confidence in the world in themselves and on their teammates and the coaching staff. Let's just hope they keep this up. We got 4 games left, and things are looking good. We're trending on the right end. Let's just hope they keep that up. I already talked about Ja'Marr Chase already passing his reception mark that he broke last year for himself. And before the season, I said that Chase was going to have 120 receptions. I think he's going to get 100. If he's going to hit that 121 mark, that means he needs to have, like, I don't know, like 10 catches per game. But he should be targeted, like, 15 times for these next 4 games if the Bengals want to make the playoffs. So, yeah, those are my positives. And I don't really have a lot of negatives from this game, too. I'm just going to say that the only negative from this game is, I think you already talked to me about this, Tommy, is T. Higgins with his injury to his hamstring, being injury prone, and some of the drop passes that he's had this year. He had one in this game where I'm like, oh, T. I think he had two. I'm sorry. He had 2 drop passes in this game. And I'm just like, come on, T. I get it. You're coming back from your injury, and I know you want to play for a contract. You want to get a contract extension with Cincinnati, but you got to play better. You really do. And so far, you haven't done that this year. I know you've been limited with the injuries, but it needs to be better from T. Higgins. And I expect that. These next 4 games are going to be big for him. The Bengals really need T. he has some flashes in this game. He had a reception of, I believe, was it 50 plus on that pass where Jake Browning threw it. At first, I'm like, T. Higgins had it spun around to go get the ball. I thought it was a deep pass that he just underthrew him. T. didn't look for the ball. He was like, oh, it's going this way. I don't know. But I expect T. Higgins. I have been saying that T. Higgins is going to have a big game. I don't know when's that going to happen. But it needs to happen these next four games if the Bengals want to make the playoffs. So that was pretty much my only negative from this game. And also, Jake Browning just needs to drink more water and drink more electrolytes. But I think that's pretty much it on my end. What do you got, man?
No, those are both the positives and the negatives are good. I agree. He should hit the Gatorade cooler a little more often, I think. I've never even heard of it, getting a cramp in your finger. But
I have.
Have you? All right.
I talked to one of my friends, and he was telling me, like, yeah, my grandpa back in the day, he used to knit a lot. And I'm like, really? Your grandpa knitted? Yeah. So he'd be getting, like, hand cramps every time because his hand would just be, like, doing that knitting motion. I'm like, okay, that kind of makes sense. But when it comes to the athletic rim, I just never heard of that.
Yeah. So got to keep the electrolytes up, I guess. But starting with the positives anyway, I'll give once again props to the play calling. Whatever game plan that we've figured out for ourselves the last couple games since we lost to the Steelers, once we made that shift in game plan, it's looked night and day, like an entirely different team, an entirely different offense on both the offense and the defense. So I have to keep giving props to it when it's going so well. And I hope that it keeps up and that nobody figures out whatever's been successful for us, figure out how to stop it. Or if they do, hopefully we can adjust once again. But, you know, I like that we played our game instead of just not playing other teams' games. Like, our, you know, Coach Rapp used to always say that if we run and we have, if we have an A-plus day, it doesn't even matter what everyone else does because we'll win. And it feels like the last two games we've been having like an A or an A-plus day. And it seems like the mentality has almost shifted to being like scared of what everybody else is good at and just being like, let's just play the game we know we can play that we have the personnel for. And if they stop it, then they stop it. But we need to keep playing our game. So I'm glad we did that. Hope we continue to do that. And I like how poised the team looks, even with Burrow out. As you know, I'm going to bring this up. We did once again win the time of possession battle. A lot of that is helped by how well and effectively we were able to run the ball for the whole game. So always a good. And I mean, last week was the first time we'd actually won while losing the time of possession battle. So it's a big stat for us. And you mentioned Trey, two sacks in this one. I haven't checked the updated numbers for this since I brought it up, but earlier this year on this podcast, I showed that we had an almost perfect record when Trey has at least one sack in a game. If he has zero or a half a sack, we basically lost almost all those games. And we have an amazing record when he gets those sacks. And so once again, that one was correlated. And so we have to continue to find ways to let him loose and try to scheme him to get one-on-one opportunities. And hey, look, I know you said that you were a little worried about his sack crown coming, but he's only 1.5 sacks behind the leader in sacks in the entire NFL right now. And he's tied for third. So he's very much in position to make a run at it. So he's very much in the game for it still. So we got to continue to find ways to get him one-on-one opportunities so he can actually just kind of let loose and go crazy. You also mentioned the offensive line, which was excellent. The no sacks allowed, only 3 QB hits, which is a huge stat for us too. So even though, you know, sacks happen sometimes, thankfully they didn't happen at all during this game, which is amazing. But the fact that Jake Browning only really had to hit the ground 3 times throughout the whole game is, you know, we already lost Burrow. AJ McCarron, you know, is familiar with the team anyway, but this is a very different team than what the one he played for. So I don't want to have to use him if we don't need to, because Jake Browning is playing really well. So I like that they've got the offensive line completely locked in the last couple games since Jake Browning has been in here, and trying to keep him upright so that the same thing doesn't happen to him. I have some more stats that I actually pulled about Chase Brown, but I'll save those for a different part and just say that Chase Brown has been outstanding since we actually started giving him touches. It seems so obvious and easy to just say, like, why don't we just get him more carries? I mean, he had 2 carries the entire season combined before last week or before 2 weeks ago. And then the last 2 weeks, he's had, I think, 20. Or 17, I think. So he's been playing really well. I hope that we continue to get him involved. And again, I'll talk about more of this in just a second. But also, if you didn't know this, our team leader in quarterback knockdowns is BJ Hill. He's actually 14th in the entire league and is the best on our team. So even a guy that doesn't have like a ton of sacks, a guy that's an interior defensive lineman, him and DJ Reader just kind of go crazy in the middle of the defensive line. And he's getting quarterback knockdowns all over the place, left and right, like basically one per game, even at the D tackle position, which is insane. But I'm glad that the defensive line is playing pretty well as effectively as they can. And we're going to need them to continue stepping up, especially with Cam Taylor-Britt out for maybe a couple more weeks. I know that they were sounding a little more optimistic, but even so, we're going to need the defensive line to get home very quickly and make them throw quickly so that way our corners, especially as we're bringing in the backups and rookies, that we're not putting them in difficult positions where they have to cover for 4 seconds. And lastly, for positives of the main one anyway, Jordan Battle, we've mentioned him many times about his setting the tone for the tackling on this team. He actually has one of the lowest missed tackle percentages in the entire NFL. His missed tackle percent is 2 at like 2%. So super, super good. And Sam Hubbard and Cam Sample are also incredibly low on the missed tackle percentage. And Cam Sample maybe doesn't have quite the snap count to make that as crazy of a stat. But Sam Hubbard's been playing a lot of ball this year, and he's an excellent run stopper. He's a sure tackler as well. So even if he's not getting crazy sack numbers, they're still setting the tone on this team for not missing tackles and getting people on the ground just shortly after the line of scrimmage. So that's all for my positives. I can go into my negatives unless you have any comments first.
No, those are good positives. I wanted to add that the offensive line, 0 sacks. Cordell Volson had a really good game. And I know we bash this man a lot on this podcast. And I know a lot of Bengals fans on social media bash Cordell. But watching the All-22, there was a play where Mixon had that long screen pass that he caught. And he went for, I believe, was 30-plus. He had a really nasty stiff arm, too, on a Colts defender. But the downfield blocking of Alex Kappa and Cordell Volson, I sent you a snap photo of it. I was like, look at Cordell go. And then on the Chase Brown touchdown, you saw Cordell Volson running like he wanted some pizza rolls. I was just like, look at that man. Like, he was trucking and running. I was like, damn. So I wanted to give a shout out to Cordell Volson. Obviously, the whole O-line played really great, but I want to give Cordell his due because he's been under a lot of stuff this year. Let's put it nicely. Oh, so yeah. He did really good in this game. And then Brad Robbins, did he kick at all? Did he have like a couple of punts? I don't know.
Did we punt?
I don't remember even. I'm pretty sure we did. I'm not really sure.
Try to look it up super quick.
Brad Robbins, did you punt? I don't, like, I'm not trying to bash the dude because he hasn't been kicking well.
He has not. We punted 4 times actually. His average 36.8 yards.
Yeah. Okay. He did punt. Now my memory's getting back. But he had like one punt where I'm just like, Brad, come on, my man. And I'm just like, at this point, we're kind of done with the Brad Robbins experience, or are we just gonna give him this year and then, dude, you have to pick it up for next year, or you're done.
Yeah. I don't know if dropping a punter midseason is worth it. Is worth like the time to find a new one. But I agree. I seriously think we should bring someone else in to at least get into
some competition. Yeah, some competition. I think that'll work. Hey, bring back Drew Chrisman. I mean, he's doing media coverage for WBN. He was at the game, covering the game. And I'm like, give Drew Chrisman a chance. Yeah. What do you got to lose? You really don't. Also, Ja'Marr Chase this week, he came up in the injury report, an ankle injury, but the Bengals say that he's 100% going to play on Sunday. I mean, on Saturday. So that's good. I saw that yesterday. I was like, okay, that's news to me, but I guess it's not. Guess it's nothing to worry about. So I'll just throw that out there.
Yeah. No, that's good. And that is always good news. I don't really want to find out what this team looks like without Ja'Marr Chase also. So I'm hoping he can play and is feeling all right.
Yeah. They say 100%. Yeah. So I guess I'll trust the Bengals uppies on that. All right. Negatives, what do you got for your side?
Yeah, so I only have two, really. Is it's the drops is the first one. Yeah. So before Joe Burrow got hurt, Joe Burrow had the sixth highest drop percentage on his pass attempts before he got hurt. 5.9% of his pass attempts were dropped. And it's insane. Like, obviously, wow. Number one was Mahomes because everyone's dropping everything in Kansas City. But the number six is terrible. Like, we have to be able to secure catches. And don't get me wrong, you know that T. Higgins is one of my favorite players on this team, and I love him dearly. And I don't know if it's the hamstring injuries. I don't know if he's not truly healthy, but is trying to get like some money in the offseason, so he's trying to force himself back too early. But he's number 13 in the entire league at drops. He's also, I think, fifth or sixth in drop percentage. Everyone above, so he's only played in 9 games this year. Everyone above him in drops, so all 12 of the people that have more drops than him, have played in at least 12 games, so at least 3 more games than he has this year. And of the players that have only played 9 games, he has the highest drops. And the only other person, so he has 6 drops. The next highest person that has also only played 9 games is Kyren Williams, who's a running back, and he only has 4 drops. So it's like, ugh. And his drop percentage is kind of the same. But like, I don't know what it is, but the drops around the team are trash. And T. Higgins, especially with the injuries, I know you can't control those, but with the injuries and the drops, I'm like, my guy, you're not making a great case for yourself to go get some cash somewhere. So I don't know. Maybe we can bring him back on a discounted rate, but we'll see. But that's definitely been frustrating. So that's the first negative. And the second negative is honestly the way Joe Mixon has played. I'm a big fan of how many carries we've given him, and I'm glad that we're committing to the run game a little bit more recently. And I don't think that Joe Mixon needs to be like cut from the team, anything like that. That's certainly not what I'm saying. But I think that we maybe want to consider reducing his role a little bit and bringing in Chase Brown more, kind of like last year with the Cowboys did with like Zeke and with Tony Pollard, where Tony Pollard was more of like the explosive guy, better pass catcher. And then Zeke was kind of like the first down back whenever they were in goal line situations, things like that. I think that we have a pretty similar structure to what they did last year. And I don't want to make the mistake the Cowboys made this year, which is getting rid of Zeke. And now Tony Pollard looks like a shell of himself compared to last year because he's not used to carrying the entire rushing attempts for the entire team. So I don't want to get rid of him. I'm wondering if we should try to even out the snap count a little bit, though. Joe Mixon has one of the worst, he's one of the worst players in the league in yards after contact per rush, only 1.4 yards. And Chase Brown is at 3.4 yards for that same stat. So basically, as soon as he's touched, he's going right down. He's not breaking tackles. He's only broken 7 tackles the entire year. So he breaks like 1 tackle every other game, which is terrible. And the yards before contact per attempt, right? So, like, once you touch the ball, how far are you getting before you get touched? Joe Mixon's is 2.5. Chase Brown's is only 1.5, which means Chase Brown is getting hit a full yard on average before Joe Mixon is, and he's still playing much better and still getting like better averages. And in the last two games, because that's really the only sample size we have for Chase Brown right now, but when we actually started using him more, Chase Brown has 17 carries, Joe Mixon has 40. Chase Brown has 86 yards, Joe Mixon has 147. Chase Brown's yard per attempt, 5.1. Joe Mixon's 3.7. And then Chase Brown has no touchdowns and Joe Mixon has 3 touchdowns. So what that screams to me is Joe Mixon is probably really good for like a first down guy, kind of set the tone, especially if we need help blocking. And then whenever we're in like goal line scenarios, we know that he has a nose for the end zone. So I don't think we need to get rid of using him entirely, but I would like to see a little more blended because I mean, Joe Mixon, I mean, like you said, I swear every third play he's tripping either over himself or getting tripped and can't find his balance. I think we need to rethink the running back structure a little bit because Chase Brown's really lighting it up. And I think he's a nice energy burst to this team. So that's really all I have for negatives. It's just that I think if you even want to consider that a negative, but I think it might be time to reduce Joe Mixon's role in this offense a little bit.
You know what? That's a good idea, but as I just feel like the Bengals coaching staff, Zach Taylor, they love Mixon. That's just not going to happen.
Oh yeah, I fully doubt that anyone will take my opinions into consideration. I would like to see more of Chase Brown because he's the one that's actually effective running the ball and very efficient right now. 5.1 yards per carry. And there's only 17 carries through the last two games. 19 on the year now, but still looking a lot better.
Yeah, I think if there's a game, these next four games, if Mixon's not really running the ball well, I might see the Bengals giving Chase Brown more reps. I can definitely see that while still adding, obviously, Joe Mixon to the offensive game plan, obviously. But yeah, we just got to watch these next four games. If Mixon starts to get a little bit tired because, I mean, in the beginning of the season, with Joe being not healthy, Joe Burrow, Mixon had to run the ball pretty often. Well, not often, but, I mean, they were trying to get him going because the offense couldn't get going in the passing game because Joe wasn't healthy. So I just had a feeling that with all that load, Mixon had to, you know, indulge, pause in the beginning, that later on in the season he was going to potentially burn out. And hopefully that's not the case, but I don't really see that type of burst he's had in the beginning of the season right now. But I still think that he should still get the majority of carries, but maybe give Chase Brown a little bit more reps. But like you said, we'll see.
Yep.
We'll see in these next four games. All right. Okay. AFC playoff picture, moving on. So the Bengals are still in it, ladies and gentlemen. And as you look at the AFC playoff picture on this December 13th, 2023, right now, Tommy's Super Bowl pick, the Baltimore Ravens, are the one seed in the AFC at 10-3. The Miami Dolphins are the two seed, 9-4. They lost to the Titans on Monday Night Football in Miami. And then the three seed, the Kansas City, I really want to say a prerogative thing, but I'm not going to say that. They're 8-5 and looking like they're in shambles. You really hate to see it. And then the Jacksonville Jaguars are the four seed. They're 8-5 as well. The Cleveland Browns and Joe Flacco's old ass, they're the five seed at 8-5. The six seed, the Pittsburgh Steelers, gosh, they're terrible, 7-6. And then the Colts hold the last spot in the AFC at 7-6. They're the seven seed. And then the Texans are the eight seed. They're 7-6, but they have many injuries to their key players on their team. CJ Stroud is on protocol. Nico Collins left the game for injury. And then Tank Dell's out for the year. Dalton Schultz, their tight end, left the game against the Jets. So the Texans are coming back to earth and they're trending down, unfortunately for them. The Denver Broncos are the nine seed. They're 7-6. They've won six out of the last seven games. They're looking really good. And they're only one game out of the AFC West. That's crazy to say that the Denver Broncos have a shot to win the AFC West. The Chiefs, they're a mess right now, but obviously they still got one of the best quarterbacks in the league and a tight end, but their quarterback, you know, needs some help. But Denver, they're still in December. They're still in it to win the division. It's crazy. And then the Bengals, they're the 10 seed, 7-6. And then the Bills beat the Chiefs. Thank you. And they're 7-6. They're the 11 seed. So right now, you have three teams in the AFC. Or, no, I read that wrong. You got six teams in the AFC that are 7-6. So the Browns beating the Jaguars last Sunday was big for them, because if they would have lost that game, they would have been on that 7-6 crowd right now in the AFC playoff picture. So, if you're a Bengals fan, who do you need to root for this week? So, the Browns are taking on the Chicago Bears. The Bears are such a confusing team. They beat the Lions last week. Here's a hot take. I think the Lions are frauds. I like Detroit, but I think they're frauds. I really do. And I think the Bears are better than what their record is. I just feel like the whole freaking organization has set up Justin Fields to fail. But when he has moments like he did against the Lions, where he played really well, DJ Moore had a rushing touchdown. I'm like, what is going on? Their defense played really well. Can the Bears go up to Cleveland and win that game? Yeah, they can. Will they? I'm not really sure, because the Browns are kind of better with Joe Flacco, and they're better with Flacco than Deshaun Watson, Dorian Thompson III, and P.J. Walker. Who would have thought? 39-year-old Joe Flacco, better than all those three Browns quarterbacks that I just listed out. Crazy. So we're rooting on for the Bears on Sunday. And then the Steelers are taking on the Colts on Saturday. That's the game after the Bengals and Vikings game. And you got to root for the Colts. You got to, because we got to knock the Steelers out of this playoff picture. They are just absolutely god-awful. The fact that they're 7-6 is a modern-day miracle. Even Steeler fans I know, they're like, dude, I wish that we were 0-13. There is no reason why this team should be 7-6. So, root for the Colts. And then the Texans are taking on the Titans on Sunday in Tennessee. Like I said, the Titans beat the Dolphins on Monday Night Football, so that's going to be a tough game. And the Texans are missing some key players on their team with injuries. Titans can win that game, so we're obviously rooting for them. And then the Broncos are taking on the Lions on Saturday. That's the night game. And I know I said the Lions are frauds, but I'm rooting for the Lions in this game, so I hope they win. They're home, so that's an advantage. I really hope so. But the Broncos are a really tough team. But I believe Detroit can definitely win that game. And then the Sunday game, the late game on Fox. That's a 4 o'clock game, 4:25. You got the Cowboys and Bills. Man, the Cowboys are looking like Super Bowl contenders. But it doesn't matter what the Cowboys do in the regular season. We judge them in the playoffs. But they're taking on the Bills. And it goes against a lot of things, I mean, but I don't root for the Cowboys on anything, but I'm rooting for them to beat the Bills. So we got to be Bears, Colts, Titans, Lions, and Cowboys fans coming up this weekend. And for the Bengals, you just got to beat the Vikings. I think the Bengals just got to control what they got to control. It's beat Minnesota first, and then you worry about the other things later. So just focus on winning on Saturday. So what do you got? What are your thoughts on the AFC playoff picture? It's going to be a crazy last four games of the season. It's going to be wild. And honestly, I can't wait. I'm not like, oh, I'm so nervous. Oh, my gosh, it's going to make me have anxiety. No, this is fun. I like it.
Yeah, I agree with you. And of the teams that we have to root for this week, there are way worse teams to root for. You know what I mean? So there's some fun matchups that we can tune into. And I usually watch the Bears whenever they're on anyway, and they're not the same time as the Bengals, so that should be fun. Justin Fields going up against the Browns defense makes me a little nervous, but maybe he'll surprise me. I'm a big fan of his anyway, and I think that they'll find a way to get in that game. And maybe Joe Flacco will go back to his normal self, which is not very talented. I love this team, so I'm hoping that I was very wrong about getting ourselves in too deep of a hole earlier. The problem is we lose a lot of the tiebreakers right now because we still have no wins in our division, and even our conference record is pretty shitty right now. So if we're going to need to control what we can control and just keep winning games. Vikings are very winnable. which we'll talk about in just a minute, but that's a winnable game. I think every game at this point is basically a must win because we're tied with so many teams and we're losing the tiebreaker to a lot of the teams in front of us. So we're going to need to keep winning games. I hope that we can continue to do the game plan we've been doing and continue to get it going. But hopefully some of these teams, they can't keep getting away with it. The Steelers can't keep getting away with it. The Browns can't keep getting away with it. Like, if the Browns make the playoffs, or honestly, if they won like 9 or 10 games, I think Kevin Stefanski should be coach of the year on the spot. They're on quarterback number 4, and they don't have Nick Chubb. Like, how the fuck are they winning these games? Because their defense is good. Anyway, I digress. So here's the thing. For us to keep winning games and for us to keep our playoff hopes alive, it seems like our recipe for success. I understand that the execution of these things isn't always easy, and it's way easier on paper, but it seems so obvious and simple what we need to do, which is here. I'm going to read you the splits. So we have 7 wins on the year. We have 6 losses on the year. I'm going to read you a few different stats and what the difference is in when we won games and when we've lost games. Yards per game when we win, 368. In losses, 251. Points per game in wins, 27.6. In losses, 14.5. Rush attempts, 25.7 in wins, which is 40% of our day. In losses, 17.2, which is 34.1%. Pass attempts in wins, 38.6, 60%. Pass attempts in losses, 33.3. So, and then we've sacks allowed in wins, 2. Sacks allowed in losses, 3.2. And then sacks that we've gotten in wins, 3.3. Sacks that we've gotten in losses, 2. So we need to get after the quarterback. When we have, 2.5, 3 sacks a game, I know it's hard to get the sacks, but we have Trey Hendrickson. We have those 2 dominant guys in the middle. Sam Hubbard can do some stuff every once in a while on the pass rush game. We need to be able to get sacks, and we need to have a more blended approach to rushing and passing. Because in our 7 wins, we have a 60-40 pass-run split, which, is as close to even as you'd like it to be. Like, it means that you're both running and passing quite a bit, averaging 26 rush attempts a game in our wins, which is great. And it's leading to way more points and way more yards. So, and way less sacks allowed. So it seems like the recipe is so easy. We just need the blended offense of a game plan that we've had the last couple weeks that's shown how effective it is. And it was working earlier in the year too, and we just maybe didn't notice that that was the reason. But you and I pointed it out several times this year already, but it really seems so easy on paper how to continue to stack up these wins. And it's difficult when you have a backup quarterback, but I have full trust in Jake Browning after the last 2 weeks of what I've seen. The Pittsburgh game made me a little nervous, but I think that Zach Taylor and the team did not really set him up for success with how we were calling that game. So I'm glad that we're finally calling and setting him up for success in the last couple games. And if we can get this balanced offense approach, this team completely changes on offense and we put up way more yards and more points.
Oh, man, that all sounds really good. And we got to beat Minnesota first, obviously. We got to win first. But for some reason, dude, that Steelers game, I swear, if we do not win that game, I'm going to come on this podcast. That's instant reaction. And I am going to go off. There is no reason. There is absolutely no reason why the Bengals should not win that game.
Yeah.
Like, come on now.
We have to.
Oh, my gosh. We got to focus on Minnesota. Focus on the Vikings. But Bengals, please do not ruin our Christmas by losing to the Pittsburgh Steelers. This version of the Steelers, don't do it. Please don't. I don't see them doing that, but please, please. But beat the Vikings first. And let's talk about the Minnesota Vikings in this game. Saturday, 1:00 on NFL Network. If you live in the Cincinnati area, if you don't have NFL Network, the game will be televised on WCPO Channel 9. You're welcome. So the Vikings come into the game 7-6 overall. still right in the mix for the playoffs in the NFC when it comes to the wild card and maybe division. I know the Lions still have a 2-point, 2-game lead, but I'm just saying. So the Vikings, my boy Kirk Cousins, out for the year, Achilles. Justin Jefferson, first game back since the injury. Then he gets hurt in the Raiders game with a chest injury. But they're saying that he will play on Saturday. So that's good. I'm glad that Jefferson will be out there. Nick Mullins, he comes in for Josh Dobbs because Josh Dobbs has really been bad over the last couple of games for the Vikings. So Nick Mullins will be starting for the Vikings on Saturday. Mullins is actually not too bad. In his first 13 career starts in NFL, he produced over 3,000 yards passing with the San Francisco 49ers. So he's no scrub. So I hope that Lou and Rumor in the defensive room do not take him for granted. He's no scrub. And the Vikings' last game was a nail-biter. I'm talking about probably the best game of the season in the NFL, defeating the Las Vegas Raiders 3-0.
They honestly, if you go
3-0,
if you go into it, if you go into like, I don't know, 3-0, they both should lose. That's so messed up.
You know what's crazy? I had the game on NFL Red Zone, and like Scott Hansen was like, "Well, any update from the Vikings Raiders game?" No, still the same 0-0. And I'm like, okay, it was in the second quarter. I'm like, eventually someone's gonna score. Okay, halftime 0-0. Okay, someone's going to score in the third quarter. And I'm like, this is so bad, really bad. So I don't know what's going on in the NFL. The last 2 weeks, you got 6-0 score, final score from the Chargers and Patriots. And then Texans and Jets were 0-0 at half last week. And then you have this game between the Vikings and Raiders, 3-0 as the final score. And I don't get the common theme. Dude, at what? What's the common theme?
Fucking backup quarterbacks and ass quarterbacks. I mean, I think like Raiders are working with a backup. Vikings are working with a backup. Jets are working with a backup. Not the Chargers, but
Patriots.
I mean, they intentionally went to their backup instead of an injury, but all backup QBs besides Herbert. But I don't know what his excuse is.
Well, Kerber had an injury to his right index finger. He's out for the year.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So the Chargers are done. And then, you know what's the Thursday night game? Chargers Raiders.
Oh, God. That's honestly, can't they flex some of this bullshit? This is terrible.
We have Patriots and Steelers. That game was actually not too bad. It went to over. Everyone better than under. It went over. Oh my gosh. So the Vikings, they should be a team the Bengals should not take lightly. I mean, they still got players on the team. Talk about Nick Mullins. He's going to be starting for them. They got running back Alexander Mattison, who has run for 660 on the ground and 3 touchdowns this year on 168 carries. And also they got Ty Chandler, their second running back, 49 carries for 2 of 3 and a touchdown. Their wide receiver room is led by tight end TJ Hockenson, who I'm kind of afraid because, as you know, the Bengals defense really are trash against the opposing team's tight ends. They did pretty well against the Colts, but then again, the Colts didn't really throw to the tight ends. They only threw to Michael Pittman Jr. Hockenson, that's who Nick Mullins is going to be targeting a lot in this game. This year, he has 85 catches for 839 and 5 touchdowns. Jordan Addison, the rookie, has done really well in year one, 56 catches for 713 and 7 touchdowns. Then you got KJ Osborne, 40 catches for 433 yards and 2 touchdowns. And then Justin Jefferson, before his injury, he had 38 catches for 598 and 3 touchdowns. The Vikings defense is actually really, really not a bad unit. And they're led by rookie linebacker, Ivan Pace Jr., undrafted rookie linebacker out of the University of Cincinnati. He's having one hell of a rookie year. He has 68 total tackles and 2.5 sacks. He pretty much leads all rookies when it comes to the linebacker position and just any stat category. So I am really happy for Ivan Pace Jr. Not only he's 5'11", but he plays like he's 6'7". He just tackles really well, and he's very fast as a linebacker. So proud of him. And then it had this linebacker named Danielle Hunter. This guy is a menace. He has 13 and a half sacks, like Trey Henderson, and four forced fumbles. That should be concerning if you're a Bengals in the offensive room, looking at his tape and going, oh, shit, this guy is all over the place. And then have another linebacker named DJ Wonum something. Yeah, I'm really bad at these names. He has seven sacks this year. And overall, the Vikings have 36 sacks as a unit. So the keys to the Bengals to winning this game, number one, stop the tight end. That means stop Hockenson. Number two, I don't know how limited Justin Jefferson's going to be, but I have a feeling that if he's good to go and that his chest injury, him leaving that game on Sunday was just, okay, you're just coming back from an injury, you have this, let's take it precautious and just, you know, have you rest that until Saturday because you had a short week because of this game, and then you have a game on Saturday. So it's a short week for the Vikings. I think that Jefferson's going to play a lot. So you obviously, I wish that CTB was playing. That would have been such one hell of a matchup between him and Justin. Damn, we don't get to see that, but you got to contain him. That guy is still a beast, and I'm scared. Even with Nick Mullins, he still got Hockenson and Jefferson to throw the ball, and Jordan Addison. Jordan Addison's really fast, and man, Vikings got a good offensive unit. They really do. So it is a bummer that Kirk Cousins, if he didn't get hurt, Kirk Cousins was on the way to having a career year. He really was. And maybe in the MVP discussion. I'm just saying. Also, keys to this game, run the football. You got to run the ball in this game. And protect Jake Browning. Don't turn the ball over. And I think that Ja'Marr Chase needs to get more targets in this game than he had against the Colts. And the Bengals have done a good job over these last two games. The Jaguars and Colts, they have capitalized touchdowns when they enter into the red zone. So when you're in the red zone, the Bengals in the last two games have capitalized with six, then three. So that's important in this game. When you get in the red zone, you got to settle for, you got to score six. Don't settle for three, score six. And the crowd's going to be a factor. Zach Taylor said on Tuesday that he wants the Bengals fans to basically be rowdy, drink whatever, come in the stadium, be just belligerent drunk. That's pretty much what Zach was saying. I was like, really? Zach Taylor, the nice guy, wants all Bengals fans to just get extremely hammered on a Saturday afternoon? Hey, I'm for it. Hey, if it means that it's going to be a hostile environment and a home field advantage for the Bengals, do it. But also, if you're going to the game and you're going to drink, please, please, please drink responsibly as always. But, yeah, this is a game that Bengals should win, and it's not going to be a blowout. It's not going to be a blowout. I don't know why some Bengals fans are saying, oh, we're going to win like 40-10. And I'm like, stop, okay? Do you know this is the NFL of 2023? It's a weird season. Anything can happen. I don't care if the Vikings only scored three last Sunday. They're more than capable of scoring more than 3 points in this game on Saturday, and I think they will. But the Bengals are the better team, and fortunately, they're at home, and I think that's going to work to their advantage. But this is going to be a close game. I'm looking forward to watching it. But the Bengals should come out of this game at 8-6 and move on to the next game against the Steelers next week. What do you got, my guy?
Yeah, I love all what you said. So those are all good. And we can't take anything for granted in this league, but I'm a little bummed that we're not actually playing Josh Dobbs because of how well we played against him when he played for Arizona earlier in the year. So who knows? Maybe Nick Mullins will be well. Sometimes it's hard to judge quarterbacks that are coming out of the 49ers system because they run such a flawless offensive game plan over there. So we'll see what he's like in a non-Shanahan offense, and hopefully we can bait him into a few turnovers. And honestly, with how we've been able to stop the run super recently in the last two games, I mean, very, very small sample size because we were awful at it to begin the year, but last couple games, I'm hoping that we can repeat it because Alexander Mattison is not having like an exceptional year. And he's, I think, at 3.8 or 3.9 yards per carry.
This still terrible.
So we can definitely stop him. I hope so. And even if Justin Jefferson does play, which he says that he will, I don't think he'll be as dominant as he normally would be. And I mean, Jordan Addison is still really, really solid. He's speedy. And I think Justin Jefferson is still really good, even if he's not 100%. But I don't think he'll quite be as dominant as he normally would be. So hopefully we get that as a little benefit. And honestly, I'm much more concerned about TJ Hockenson. Even as a tight end, he's leading the Vikings in passing, in receiving yards. So, and we typically do not do very well against tight ends. So
I'm scared.
I'm genuinely concerned about how that's going to go. But if TJ Hockenson's the only one that's going off against us, then I can live with that. And hopefully, you know, it's not enough to get them a victory. I agree with you. I don't think this will be a blowout. I think we can win this and we should win this because I think we're the better team and we're playing at home. But even so, there's some pieces that I certainly don't think it'll be a blowout. I think they'll keep it in, especially with how terrible we are historically against backup QBs. So,
oh yeah, forgot about that.
You mentioned Danielle Hunter is actually tied for number three with Trey Hendrickson in sacks in this year, so we have to be able to continue to block well. We've been blocking well the last few weeks. Offensive line has looked way improved the last 4 or 5 weeks. Honestly, they look like a completely different team than what we started the year with. So they're finally getting the chemistry going and figuring something out on that side. So we have to continue to stop him and block Hunter. And honestly, Brian Flores is cooking up one of the better defenses in the NFL in yards for rushing, passing, points per game, all of it. So we're going to have to be a little bit creative. I hope that the game plan we've been running works, but we're probably going to have to be creative a little bit. What I ask for Zach Taylor and the crew is be creative sometimes, but for the love of God, just pick your situations wisely. Don't do it on 4th and 1 when we're on our own 40. Don't do it like we don't have to have Tyler Boyd or Jamar throw the ball. Like there are other ways to be creative. So I think we need to get creative without being stupid and like putting ourselves in bad situations. And then my last thing, honestly, last key of this game for me is the Vikings defense has 19 takeaways throughout the year, but their offense has 24 giveaways. So they actually have a -5 turnover differential. And I think that if we can exploit that and continue those averages of not giving them the ball, but taking it away, then I think we should have a pretty solid week. So I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully it'll be another fun game to watch. Looking forward to see how Jake Browning continues to progress and hopefully we can continue to protect him. But I definitely like the Bengals in this one, but I've been burned by that in the past. So we'll see.
Facts. To the Vikings linebacker, is it Danielle or Danielle? I don't know if he doesn't want to call. I don't know if you want to go by it Danielle. That's a girl name.
I was going to say it's spelled like Danielle, but I've heard it pronounced as Danielle.
Okay. It's linebacker Danielle Hunter. So I know you're not listening to this podcast, but if I butcher your name, my guy, I'm sorry. And please don't hurt me. But yeah, I'm looking forward to this game. I really am. And it's a game that every game is a must win, but you got to win this game. And obviously, you got to beat Pittsburgh, but you got to beat Minnesota first. And Minnesota is fighting for their playoff lives as well. So this is going to be a nail biter coming in the fourth quarter. Who's going to have the ball last? Who do you trust, Jake Browning or Nick Mullins? At this point, you say Jake Browning. I mean, 3 weeks ago, Bengals fans would have said, yeah, Nick Mullins. But now everyone in the city of Cincinnati love them some Jake Browning, so they're also going to pick him. So it's going to be a nail-biter, and I think the Bengals should win. They're the better team, but you just never know in this league this year. You never know. All right, man, trivia. I'm ready. I know it's Bengals-related. You told me that earlier today, so I'm ready. Bring it.
All right, question number one. Who holds the best field goal percentage for a single season in Bengals history?
Oh, Shane Graham.
Yes, sir.
That was easy.
You know what year it was. Oh. You already got the question right. I'm just This is bonus points.
05?
07. And, I mean, we all knew Shane Graham was an excellent kicker until, like, one day he just forgot how to kick and then could never kick again for whatever reason. But true. He actually has four of the top five single-season field goal percentage records for us.
So that's impressive.
He was quite the kicker for a while there. All right. Who has the best passer rating for a single season in Bengals history?
I feel like this is, oh man. Is it Ken Anderson?
It's actually Burrow.
Oh.
Burrow really? In 2021.
Damn. What was that number?
I don't know, actually. I forgot to write that part down, but Joe Burrow was number one in 2021 for passer rating, and he's also on the list at number four last year. So he's already getting right up there. Rating.
Man, I didn't want to say the obvious. Like, I was like thinking, I'm like, the first thing that came out of my mind was Ken Anderson or Carson Palmer. I mean, eventually I know Joe Burrow is going to be number one, but I didn't think that he already got that already. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
I
don't know Ken Anderson's stats quite as well, but like Carson Palmer was obviously a touchdown machine, but that dude's passer rating was not that great because his interceptions were crazy.
Shoot. After the injury in that Steeler playoff game, it pretty much went from downhill when it comes to his Bengals career. Yeah, for real. All right. Good trivia stuff. It's been a good pod, my guy. And I'm ready. This playoff stretch, as they call it, man. Before the season, I didn't think the Bengals were going to be at this mark where we're thinking, oh, man, they're going to be fighting for their playoff lives. Now, they literally are fighting for their playoff lives, but this is fun. And I think the reason why I am not, like, nervous is because I feel like the team is peaking right now, and they're peaking at the right time, and you want that. Like the Steelers and the Browns and the Texans, they peaked real early. And even the Jaguars, maybe they peaked early. But now I feel like the Bengals are peaking at the right time, even with a backup quarterback. I feel like the defense is getting better. I feel like we're calling better plays in offense. We're executing better. Things are looking good. But that can all change in a week. The NFL is a week-by-week league. Anything and anything can change. So we'll see. So as always, there will be instant reaction podcast after the game on Saturday. Still weird for me to say that after this game. Hopefully, it will be a winning instant reaction pod. And then we'll be back next week to recap this game. And there will be another Saturday game because the Bengals and Steelers game is on the 23rd on a Saturday. So we got back-to-back Saturday games. And isn't that just weird?
Definitely weird. The NFL is trying to get us used to watching games on Saturday, I guess.
I don't mind it. I really don't mind it. I think it's if you're like the team playing off Saturday, it's like, okay, you get through this game. And then if your team win, you can relax and watch the games on Sunday and not have to worry because your team already won. So I say get rid of Thursday night football and just play Saturday and Sundays. Like, fuck. That's a better option. Because I'm sick of these Thursday night games because these players are getting hurt. Especially the key players, especially this year. Like, Joe got hurt in this game and in the Thursday night game against the Ravens. Just, I don't know. They got to get rid of that. Play more Saturday games and then just do Saturdays and Sundays and Monday nights. That's it. I'm for that. Yeah. All right, man. Anything else before we sign off?
No, sir. Who day?
Who day, indeed. Keep the faith, guys. This team, just keep the faith. They're still in it. It's not over yet. It's not over. All right, we're out. Who day?